Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Talking Football Podcast. My name's Derek Clark, and each week I bring you an exclusive in-depth interview with some of the most colourful and interesting characters in the game. If you've missed any so far, you can listen to them on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and also by visiting derekclarksport.co.uk. Now, they say you must be a bit mad to be a goalie, and this week's guest is about as crazy as they come. He was one of the most charismatic figures in Scottish football and spent 19 years with the one club. It is, of course, the one and only John Martin. During the course of the next hour, we'll hear about John's story in the game, from working down the mines, starring in Scottish Cup finals with his beloved Airdrie, and his brush with movie stardom, as well as plenty of funny stories throughout. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode of the Talking Football Podcast. Welcome everyone to another edition of the Talking Football Podcast, and I'm absolutely delighted to say we're joined this week by a colourful character, a legendary goalkeeper in Scottish football, John Martin. John, thanks very much for joining us today.
Not a problem, mate.
We'll kick off a wonderful career you had in the game, John. Born 1958 in Fife, was it Preston Pans you grew up in?
That's correct.
And what was that like growing up as a wee boy back then?
It's basically the same thing. It's like any other wee town and that, and obviously you go up the parks and play your football and that. I got shoved in the goals, obviously, and things came off for then. I'm afraid.
Yeah, but I was going to say that. Were you always playing in goals? Was that something you always did, or did you play outfield?
It's one of them. Sometimes you played outside and you take shots about in goals and that, and obviously they thought I was the best at a lot of them, so I got put in goals. And things came off there.
Did you have any sort of role models or any sort of people you looked up to as a young boy?
I actually looked up to Ray Clements and Peter Shilton and that.
Yeah, they were English goalkeepers, weren't they, back in the day? They were pretty decent.
Well, basically, aye.
And, I mean, did you have a favourite team growing up as a boy?
I was a Rangers supporter.
Did you go along to Ibrox much?
To be fair, I didn't go a lot of times. I just went a few times with a couple of the mates and that. And then, obviously, the football team over and... And then I ended up playing against them.
Yeah, quite a few times, didn't you?
Oh, aye, quite a few times, and quite a few good games, because I think it was my first off Firm game at Ibrox. I think it was in Madrid 0-0. Mm-hmm. And actually, that was the game that I played with Nate gloves on. and I had a stormer of a game, and obviously the mates in that gave me pelters and that, but that was a fantastic day.
Yeah, but I was going to ask there. You mentioned they're playing without any gloves on. What was that like? Because we won't see it ever again. I guess keepers were just bare hands playing in goals, but I guess the hands were a bit stingy after the game.
You were just as you say, in these days it was you just spotting the hand and that was it. And then I think the other gloves come in was the wee green gloves that the war, and then I got sponsored by, for the start of my career, actually, to the end of my career, with Sondico, and they were really great to me, you know. They gave me what I wanted and everything, so it was a wee culture shock, because after the Rangers game, I went into Bobby Watson, who obviously was the manager at the time. And I said to him, is there any chance you buy me a pair of gloves? And he just laughed, He says, well, big man, if you play like that with suit them, what you want them for? So that was it, but give the boys due. He bought me two pair.
Oh, he's too kind.
Before I got sponsored, aye.
And did you play, I was reading there, did you play it for Trident Juniors as a boy?
Yes, that's where actually I went from. And then to there. I had actually went down to, this is before I went to Airdrie, I went down to Rotherham.
Oh, did you, yeah?
I have been doing it at Rotherham, and it was actually just between pre-season and that at the time, but they took me down there, put me in digs, the digs were great, the woman that was there was absolutely fantastic. And actually, the club was fantastic. And, well, what happened was that they were interested, but my wife was pregnant at the time. And it wasn't the right time for me.
Yeah.
Just go away there. I would have liked to have done it, but it just wasn't the time. So I come back up, went to train, and then I think it was Airdrie. I think Arbroath, and there was somebody else who was interested. So I went to Airdrie first. Played Queen's Park, I think, in a friendly at Lesser Hampden. And obviously done well, and then you can take it from there what happened.
Yeah, certainly. I was going to say, I mean, you're sort of late to the game in terms of the football. Was it down the mines you were working that as well?
I was working down there. I worked there for, about 5 years, 6 years I worked there. But obviously that was part-time. Airdrie was part-time at the time.
Yeah.
So I had that job and then there and there and... To be fair, I haven't seen the wife in that. I don't know if that's a good thing or that, but and as you say, quite late, I think it was about 20, 21 at that particular time. I mean, it's yep. young, but as you say, folk get into it kind of about 16,
yeah.
17 kind of thing. But I was happy the way my career went. I was happy what I done.
And yes, yeah, certainly. When you joined Airdrie, then Bobby Watson, was he the manager at the time when you joined there?
Aye, Bobby.
And what was he like to work under?
He was tremendous to me. Well, obviously he gave me my chance in that, and I mean I didn't even know. And I went on the Thursday night, I think it was, and because I think Ernie McGar was there at the time.
Yep.
And Ernie's a great lad in that, great goalie as well, And I'm saying to myself, well, I'll just need to wait. And obviously, and Bobby just pulled me in one Thursday night. He says, big man, he says, you're playing Saturday, okay? And that was it. right, okay then. it went on through there, and I think Ernie went into Bobby and spoke to him, obviously, And I think Ernie says, listen, I think you've got a good goalie there, and he says, I'll need to move on. And I think, but that's what happens, eh?
Yeah, it certainly does. Can you remember much of your debut, John?
The debut was 2-2 against St Mirren, I think it was.
And how did you find that? I mean, it must have been quite a
jump. Culture shock. It was a culture shock because you're playing the Premier League and that, and oh dear me, and you're playing at St Mirren. And you're playing against really, and the times that I played, you're playing against Billy Stark, and you're playing against really, really good players in that.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I didn't have much time to think about it, because that was the Thursday night. So you go to the pit, I went to the pit on the Friday, worked there, and then your next night, you're shooting the Saturday, and you're playing, and I done well, and I stayed on for there. Don't get me wrong. I'm like anybody else. I did have some bad games, and I don't think it's so much bad games, but everybody has a bad game now and then.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, what was the dressing room like back then? What were the big characters in that Airdrie dressing room?
Oh, you had Big Jimmy March and what's his name? Oh, you had Sandy Clark.
Oh yeah, yep.
Wally Maguire.
Yep.
You had Brian McKeown as well.
Yep.
You had a few really good characters and players, to be honest. Really good players.
Yeah, they certainly had a good few players, especially in the 90s, really. That was the heyday for Airdrie, wasn't it?
And I joined there in 1980, and obviously they were just going into the Premier League that time. And it was quite funny because I had just joined there. But they let me play for Cunningham through the Scottish Cup. And it's quite funny because we went up and Bobby Watson spoke to me and he went, I think my community says, you'll need to get a passport. And I looked at my passport into my cell and said, what's that? Again, because I didn't know what it was. I said, it's a passport. She said, we're going on a holiday because the club came us to, I think it was Ibiza.
Wow.
Somewhere anyway. And it was quite funny because he just started to laugh. Because I didn't ken nothing about a passport, you know. So I had to write away and get one. And to be fair, I wrote away. And again, how you have to write away and they get you back.
Yep.
Must have been some guy in the actual place in Glasgow, and he must have recognised my name. and he actually put a note in it and says, all the best, I hope you enjoy your holiday.
Oh, very good.
it was quite good that way.
I was going to say, you mentioned there, when you're combining your work down the mines and playing football and what have you, you must have had long days, because were you still living in sort of Preston Pans way when you're playing for Airdrie?
Oh yeah, I've stayed in Preston Pans all my days.
Wow, so that must have been a fair trek and a half.
I'm still here in the same house. We started at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Till 2, and then I was actually just up the foot, got a wash, blah blah blah, went for some eat in the canteen, and then I actually got another bus which went to Edinburgh because I didn't need to drive at the time.
Yep.
And they were long days because I got to Edinburgh, and then I got a bus from Edinburgh to Broxbourne, I think it was, and I had to get a bus from Broxbourne to Airdrie. The time I got home, it's talking about 11:30 at night.
Oof.
And that was me trying to get up the next game morning for 6 o'clock.
Oh, I don't know how you done it, honestly.
Well, that's what I say now, Ken, to yourself. I say, how did I do that, Ken? Must have been mad. I don't
know. Well, you need to be mad to be a goalie, that's what they say, don't they?
Well, that's what they all keep saying. I say to myself, well, it ain't me.
I was reading some of the managers you play under at Airdrie. I mean, some big names in football at the time, of course, the likes of Ali McLeod, Gordon McQueen was there for a bit, wasn't he, as well? Jimmy Bowen, Bill Munro. What were these guys like to play under?
Well, Ali McLeod, you can hear he was a character and a half. I think he came off of me. Ali was really good in that, and He actually, when he was manager of Scotland,
yep.
He actually put me in the squad.
Oh wow, did you?
In the squad, I forgot about it. Well, when I say I forgot about it, it was just one of these things, and then it was one time in the paper, and I seen it, but I had to pull out because on the Saturday I got injured against Dundee United, I think it was, and I had to pull out because we were to meet some hotel on the Monday, and I had to pull out.
Ah, dearie me.
So that was it, and then when he come here, and then we beat, obviously, his old team Aberdeen in the League Cup. I think we beat him 3-1.
Yep.
He thought he had won the World Cup, and right enough, at the end of the day, Aberdeen had a superb team.
Yeah, back then they had some good players.
Waller, Jim Leighton, you name it.
Yeah.
They were one of the best teams, and to beat the MC1, I think it was 3-1 or something like that. And then you had Gordon McQueen. He was superb as well. Well, that was actually when we went full time. Gordon McQueen was coming, when would you go full time and all that? And then I had to ask Ken. Well, I says to her, well, I'll need to get you the, if we're going full time, it's a chance for me, because I always wanted to go full time, you know.
Yep.
Just to see how it was, and it was a great change. I think it improved me a lot, because part time I'm not saying you didn't improve, but you've not got much time to.
Yeah, but what were you training 2 days a week or something when you're part time?
You were training a Tuesday night and a Thursday night, and playing a Saturday.
You're right. It's not much time, is it?
And you didn't get much time with each other, but when you've got through the day and all that and that, you always got that much time. And I thought that's when I improved a lot more.
Yeah, you certainly would do. Did you have any goalkeeping coaches back then at Airdrie during that spell?
Well, there was one I can't remember who the manager was, and he says, "Oh, I've got a goalkeeping coach coming." I said, "Oh, great, Ken." I says, "Who is it?" He says, "Ronnie Simpson."
Oof.
Right. So anyway, Ronnie Simpson came with a wee bit of thing where he was doing away and that. And I don't know, but he went to your manager after it. So I went away and I come back this again day, and I says to the manager, I says, "Where's Ronnie?" He says, "He's not coming back because he can't improve me." I went, "Eh?" He went, "No." He says, "No, in a bad way." He says, "He just looked at how you were doing and that." He says, "I can't improve him."
Well, there's a compliment then, isn't it?
Well, that's what I thought to myself. I thought I had done something.
Yeah.
You know? But it wasn't the other way about it. I went, "Well, did I take that, as you say, as a compliment?" Which I did. And that was about it. And then Alec McDonald was there.
Yep.
And we trained a couple of days with Peter McCloy.
Oh, yeah, the ex-Rangers goalie.
Yes, aye. Because Peter McCloy was training the Hearts as well. So he was trying to combine the two of us.
Yep.
And that was quite good, so, because he had a couple of times a week and there, which was good. Because there was times when you didn't have a goalie coach, and I was actually doing the coaching and doing the stuff as well. Because I was a kind of, as you say, older guy.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Touching on, obviously you played it at Broomfield, which is no longer there, John. What was that like to play at that ground?
Well, I think, and I think a lot of the fans and that will say the same, that when we left there, I just think we went away a bit back the way, you know. I think it was an intimidating place. A lot of the big clubs didn't like to come there. Because, I mean, if you see the results we had there against the big teams.
Yeah, yeah, a few scalps there.
And any time they got us in the cup in there, they're saying, "Oh, no, here we go again." And I think that went away when we left there. I don't know if we had to leave at a particular time. But going away up to Broadwood wasn't a... To be fair, we're washing marine gears. We're doing this, we're doing that. Oh, it was horrendous. There was times I was going home in the car. I was covered in mud, man.
Oh, dear.
It was murder.
And, I mean, you had a... You attracted a fair few fans at Broomfield as well, didn't you? I mean, you packed it out at times, and you look at it now, it's quite sad how the fans have sort of dwindled away a wee bit.
I think they've all dwindled away, and I think that's part of it when we moved. Because it was kind of a tight ground, as you know, and when they started to sing and it was a great atmosphere. When we went to Broadwood, that's when folks said, "Oh, I'm not going there," because it was absolutely a freezing place, absolutely, to be honest.
Yeah, it is a bit.
Oh, it's like a wind blow right down that part. But and even when we went back to Rain Stadium, you weren't going to fill that with, unless you were going to play Rangers or something like that.
Yeah.
Celtic or something like that. And then you can see now how many they're getting. You block if they're getting 600.
It's sad.
And it's sad to where they are in that particular league they're in. Is it League 2 they're in or League 1?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to get out of it for a number of years and that. And I mean, I see folk on Facebook every game, and they're saying, "Oh, Christ, I'm not going back there. That is murder and that." You know,
I've been there a few times, and you,
have you been there? Have you?
You see the empty stands, especially behind the goals and that. And I mean, it's the stadium's too big for them for a start.
That's right.
So it's sad to see that. I went to the old Broomfield as well once as well, and you see that ground compared to where they are now, and you think, was it worth the move, really?
Exactly, because now is only you got your 600, the bit where the players come out,
yep.
And behind the goals is empty, and straight across is all empty, and as you said, I think it's just too big.
Aye. Yep, but a lot of grounds in Scotland are like that now. The fans don't really go too often now, do they?
You just wonder why, eh? You just wonder.
Exactly.
And don't get me wrong, Stuart Miller's been on to me to come through and do a bit of hospitality, but I will go through, but I've just had a back operation, so...
Oh, really?
That's been 6 weeks now, so I'm getting there, so it's been no bad, so... I'm quite happy with the way that went, so I'll get through at one stage just to see a few guys that obviously I've not seen for a wee while.
Yeah, that'll be good. I was going to mention them, John, harping back to, there was a season that I was looking at before we had done this interview. You get promoted and back to the Premier Division in 1990-91. What was good about that team that year?
I think, obviously the team that went up the first time I went in there, it went actually through a wee transition of being in the top four, or you win in the top four. And it went on that for a good couple of years until that year that you're talking about. And I think we got about five or six new players in, and I think they made a lot of difference.
Yeah.
And I think what I can remember it, we started off really, really well, and I think that's most important. And I think other teams were playing catch up to us. Because I think it was a league, as you know it, anybody could beat anybody.
Yeah.
And it was really great that we went up. I can't remember, was it the Wraith game? We went up. I think it was the Wraith game. We're coming home for the Wraith game, I think, if I can remember right.
Yeah, you went up by a single point, so it was right down to the wire.
That's right. It was down to the wire, and we went to play Wraith, and we needed 3 points, I think, or we needed a draw or a point, 3 points. I can't remember, and I'm sure it was Big Evan Balfour that scored the goal, and we won 1-0.
Yeah.
And that was like as if we won the World Cup this year, Tina. Away up the stand, and climbing away up that wee stand at Wraith and everything.
I know what you mean.
It was absolutely brilliant because, don't get me wrong, we're on the bus, we're on the bus home, and all the cars are passing, they're tooting, it was really great.
Yeah, certainly. And it was good, I mean, the 90s, What an era it was for Airdrie. I mean, reaching the two Scottish Cup finals. I know you're on the losing side, but they must be career highlights for you.
They are the two career highlights, plus playing in the European Cup.
Yeah.
Finals Cup at that stage, it was called. It's called the Euro Cup now. Well, to be fair, would a team like Airdrie think they're going to be in two Cup finals? No.
No.
That would be your answer. And to play the old Farum, and don't get me wrong, we played Rangers first. And everybody says, we'll get slaughtered and that. We'll go beat 2-1.
Yep.
And I thought we'd put in a good show. We played Celtic in 95. And to be fair, I thought we were going to win that game, you know that?
You were unlucky in that game, I tell you.
We were really unlucky, aye. And that's one of the things, and we only got beat 1-0 in that game. All right, we got beat, but that's what the other fans talk about. Memories as well. That'll never go away. And we played the European Cup Winners' Cup, and that was absolutely rare against Sparta Prague. I mean, we should have beat Sparta Prague at home.
Yeah.
Should have beat them at home. And then we missed a penalty over there. But the atmosphere in that in these games won't go away. And don't get me wrong, we were in Airdrie were in League Cup semis. Okay, what I mean? So
yep.
we were up and about there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, and you think now. Airdrie getting to Scottish Cup finals, and you can't quite get your head around it. But I mean, back then you had some cracking players in that team, didn't you?
That is the thing that you need to bring in certain players to improve the team, and Alec did that, and without a doubt. but then things started to dwindle away again.
Yeah.
And I left in 2000, I think it was.
What was Alec McDonald like as a manager?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I don't know if you've read my book or not.
I've not had the chance to yet, John, but I do plan to.
You'll probably see it, but I'll tell you, his man-to-man management was disappointing. Disappointing.
Wow.
Because I went into him, we were playing Wimbledon in a pre-season friendly game at home. So he broke me in and he says, John, I'm going to play. It was Alan McKnight at the time.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to play Alan McKnight in the first half and play you in the second half. I went, right, not a problem. Leave it at that. I'm still waiting on my game. Right? Now, who would do that?
Yeah, that's poor.
And that's ridiculous. So anyway, I just left it. Blah, blah, blah. But obviously, on his other game, he was really good at what he'd done and the players that he brought in. And don't get me wrong, he's the most successful manager.
Yep.
Airdrie's had.
Yeah, so no question.
You've got to give him the benefit of the doubt there. But what he done to me was just... I just kind of get that to that still. And he still no told me that I was playing on the Saturday after McKnight had a bad game against Hearts. I think it was on the Wednesday night. And he went away. He went away somewhere. He went away in the Huff or something like that. And then it was John McVeigh that told me. And then all of a sudden, and I'm not saying this because I went into the team, but when I went into the team, we started to win.
Yeah.
I don't know if that tells a story or if I'm being big-headed or...
No. It's interesting stuff because a lot of people won't really know that, really. So it's interesting to find a bit more.
I turned it on from there to there, and obviously I was part of the team that didn't have the memories.
Yeah. Not only did you reach the two Scottish Cup finals, you won a Cup final as well, didn't you? You won the Challenge Cup final in 94, that win over Dundee.
That was actually called the B&Q at that time.
Yep.
That was a B&Q, that was against Dundee. I mean, folk were saying, it's only a wee cup and that, but it's still...
For Airdrie, it's massive.
It's still there, and we were overjoyed for it, because we beat Dundee, and we were in the First Division at the time, I think. And it was really a good atmosphere, because I think it was at St. Johnston's, is it? St. Johnston's Park?
Yeah, McDermott Park, yeah.
McDermott, aye. So there was a good atmosphere there, and it was really good, aye. So you could take that, and to be fair, there's one, it was what cup final was it? I think it was the Rangers game, cup final in 92, and telling how it wasn't the Queen, it was, what was her name? I think it was... Mind member, I gave her a kiss, mind.
Oh, was it Princess Anne, was it? Was it her? Was it Margaret?
I think it was
Princess Margaret?
Aye.
I gave her a kiss.
So that was, it was quite funny because I didn't even think about it. And Jimmy Sanderson looked at me and he went, "What are you doing, big man? What's wrong?" She's not refused me. And then they all started to do it. So the next minute, after the game, blah, 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 next the game morning, it's all the paper. I just give her a kiss, but she didn't refuse. And the next thing, I don't know how it come about, I've got a letter through the door. And it was for her.
No way.
Saying, oh, thank, eh?
No way.
I've got it in a frame just at the top of my, stair there. Thanks, John, blah, 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 what you've done and what you've done for the young kids and blah, blah, blah. Thank you very much. It was not good. It was really good. So I was
like, incredible.
I framed in that. It was quite funny, to be honest. Oh, really funny.
You were known as...
That's what folks spoke about.
Yeah.
Even when I went down to my local pub, my local club. big man, what the fuck are you doing? I went, okay. She didn't refuse, though. But your wife was in the stand, I say, she didn't mind. So, the stories are quite funny when you go back on them.
Yeah, they certainly are. You're obviously known as quite a madcap goalie back in the day, John. But what was it? A lot of antics in the dressing room, a lot of crazy stuff going on in that Airdrie dressing room, I'd imagine.
I think when you say characters in the game, I was, but I take my football seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and they can say what they want, the characters of the game. If I was to name one now, I couldn't name one.
No, you're struggling, aren't you?
You're really toiling. Back then, you had a couple. You had two or three, you could get a wee bit laughing. That. Don't get me wrong, I take my football very, very seriously when it comes down to that.
Yeah.
I could have a wee laugh and a wee this and a wee that. That's no problem. But when it comes down to the football, count me in.
Yeah. The whole, you used to swing on the bar and what have you.
Did that come about? That started, I don't know why it went. It started actually in my second game. Johnny swinging at bar. And to be fair, I didn't mind them shouting at swinging on the bar when the ball was up the other end.
Yeah.
When the ball's doing my end, I can't swing on the fucking bar because I need to get off. So you could imagine them when they were doing that and I couldn't do it. And then at the end, they go, swing on the bar, you be. And I went, and I just turned around and gave them the old wave and that. And they were all right after that. Johnny, swing on the bar, or Johnny, shows your ass, something like that. Nothing wrong with that.
You got a bit of stick sometimes at away grounds as well with the whole minor stuff. Did that bother you at all, or do you just sort of...
Didn't bother me at all, no.
Yeah.
Never bothered me at all, because see, at the end of the day, they didn't care in the situation.
Exactly.
And the situation was, and it's actually in the book as well, the situation was, is I was on strike, like the rest of them, and I was doing my wee bit for them, blah, blah, blah. And I was part-time as well. And part-time, you're only getting £30 a week. £30 a week, plus your expenses. That's all for that, you're making nothing.
Wow,
right?
That's mental.
But after a wee while, kind of, I used to get the food bank and all that, I used to get the food parcels and that. Mine's, I went along to get it, and he says, I'm no getting it. I says, how am I no getting it? Oh, well, you're part-time. I says, are you fucking kidding me on here? I says, I'm going to stay the same as you, and some of their wives are working full-time, and they're getting much more than me, and my wife's working in the soup kitchen for them. Remember that as well. So all I say to them is that fine? I says, right, I'll be going back then. And they went, aye. And I went back. And that's why I went back. I said, honey, I stopped. I went back.
Yeah.
But their wives are getting thousands of pounds. I'm getting £30.
That's not on, is it?
No. That didn't go with me. That didn't go with me at all. But at the end of the day, as you say, it didn't bother me, because when I went to the grounds and that, the away grounds and that, if that's all they could sing to me, that's fine. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, because at the end of the day, that's not about football, is it?
It's not, no, you're
really,
right.
To be honest, it's not about football. I mean, they didn't get the right story. They've just gone by what they want to hear. And then the truth, I'll just tell you what happened. Because when I went back, I got stopped at the gate, obviously, and the guy says, what is it? And I tell him, he went, you're joking me. I went, no. So anyway, I went in, I come back out, and I spoke to the same guy. He said, oh, listen, big man, it's sorted. I went, no, too late, son. See what I mean? So
yeah.
And then you get to hear all the other wee things later. Oh, John was getting paid full-time wages at Airdrie. And I went, what? I said, I doubt that very much. But you hear all the wee stories and that, but everybody's settled doing a wee bit now, so.
Yeah.
I just say, it didn't bother me. I just went out and done my bit.
Yeah, quite right too. I was going to mention there, John, we touched on the two Scottish Cup finals, but playing at Hampden in goals, that must have been, what was that like to play at the National Stadium?
Well, the only time I had been to Hampden when obviously when I say to you that I was a Rangers man and I went to see Rangers in a cup final. And I think when I stood there, you're saying to yourself, well, I wish I could play here at one time, you know. So it was actually great to get there. Obviously, we beat Hearts twice in the semi-finals. And then we played, obviously, Rangers, Celtic. And it's absolutely amazing. Because obviously you're getting the ground was full and you were getting scrutinised because it was on the telly. But when I say it didn't bother me, you've obviously got butterflies before the game. And everybody's got them, you know. And I thought we'd done myself kind of proud. Whether we got beat is a different matter.
Yeah, you've done yourselves proud. I mean, like you said, you only lost by the odd goal in both finals. I watched the Celtic one. You're certainly unlucky. It was Van Hooydonk, wasn't it, that got the goal?
I met him. When was it I met him? I can't mind. I was doing a bit for Premier Sports.
Ah, yeah, yep.
And I don't know if you've seen it on the telly or not. There was him, Hooydonk, Terry Butcher, and Colin Cameron, because I think there were the four teams.
I've seen the pictures from that, Hampden, yeah.
And it was quite funny because the telly and that were asking, I says, I only thought of it, she didn't mean it again. We're all having a laugh, Terry and all that, and Hooydonk and that. And, but don't get me wrong, Hooydonk was brand new in that. But what a laugh I had.
And I mean, see, when you're at Airdrie for a long time, you don't really see that player staying so long at the one club anymore.
I don't think you'll ever see that again.
No, it's very, 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 very rare.
If somebody says, oh, I was there 20 years, right? And somebody says, well, I don't think anybody will beat that. And now, if I was there 20 years, I must have been doing something right.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you're named in, obviously, the Hall of Fame and what have you, so that must be a proud moment for you.
Of course it is. Anything like that has to be up there with the best. And don't get me wrong, when I go through there, do some hospitality and all that, they're nothing but great to me, you know.
Yeah.
I can't think of any mere place for them.
Did you have any opportunities when you were at Airdrie to go away? Was there any offers for you when you were at the club?
There was one. I think Rangers were interested in Liverpool.
Wow. When was that?
Liverpool. That must have been the early doors, because I think it was the Rangers when John Gregg was.
Early '80s.
He says in one of, I think it was the Rangers News at the time.
Yep.
And some folk used to get it. I didn't get it, but some of my mates said that. Look, says, look, John Gregg, if Airdrie go down, John Martin won't be playing there. So I take it it was going to come in for me, I don't know. And we played in the Texaco Cup.
We played
Bury. Was it Bury we played? And a two-legged. And Liverpool were watching me down there. And up at Broomfield, and in there are goals actually. What was his name again? Wales goalkeeper.
Well, the Wales goalkeeper. Neville Southall, was it?
Neville Southall was another goal, and we got beat 1-0, I think. And Liverpool was it in the paper? I've got all the wee scrappings and all that.
Very good.
Josh Pete pulled me up. One stage, and he says, Cambridge have offered, no, he says, they've offered $50,000. He says, we're not taking it because you're worth more.
Yeah.
I went, all right. And I think that was the end of that. So, and I don't know. I think I got my cartilage done, so I think Liverpool went somewhere else or something like that.
Yeah.
But when you get these wee clips in the paper, you know, you seem to, like a scrapbook kind of thing.
Ah, it's good to keep stuff like that, isn't it? Memories.
Yeah. That's right. So I keep the aim, and that's why, that's the only way I know. But somebody told me before the Bury, when we went down to Bury, Liverpool were watching me.
Wow.
And I'm saying to myself, just go and play your normal game.
Do you often think, what if you joined Liverpool, what might have been with your career?
Well, I don't know what way it would go, but I think you're on a bigger stage, I would imagine so.
Yeah, I think they were conquering Europe back then as well. I mean, they're European champions now, but they were really good in the 80s, weren't they?
Well, that's right. So I didn't care what way we really went for me. You know, because they've got some great goalies as it is.
Yeah,
so
they certainly do.
I don't know if it's fun for me as a young, upgoing goalkeeper who's going to play at some stage. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll never get to know, but as you say, it's always something there in your scrapbook saying, oh, there, look, there it's there. So,
did you? Yeah, certainly. Was there any particular save that sort of you remember most, John, that sort of sticks out as being one you're sort of most proud of?
I think I can mind the one, and it was Rangers against Airdrie at Old Broomfield, and the ball got swung in, and I think it was Richard Goff that went up and got one of the just the slight touches, and I was going the opposite way. I was going the other way, and I was just stuck with my left hand out and tipped it over the bar. I couldn't believe I even got it. Never mind Richard Goff. It was just one of them, and you're going the wrong way, and you're wrong footed, and you just twist back the way. I can remember that. And to be fair, there's a hell of a lot to remember, because probably back in these days, I'd quite a lot to do.
Yep.
Which I didn't mind.
There's a video I've seen online. I'm sure you know when you take a kick out. And the boy, I don't know if it's at Dens Park or something. I don't know where it is, but the boy puts it in his own net. I mean, it's one of the comedy goals.
Broomfield against Falkirk.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a wee ball boy jumping up and down.
That's the one.
Put it in, and they're all saying to me, it's my goal. Well, it should be my goal. I said that. And obviously, I didn't get it. But
you should have got it.
I know. And we nippers try to claim it. He was nowhere near it. He shot himself Gordon Marshall at the time. He was in goal. And I did actually score a goal. It was against St. Johnston. At Broomfield, actually.
What was that like?
It was the first minute of the game.
First minute of the game.
I just launched the ball, and it bounced, and the goalie was McDonald. Used to play with the Hibbies.
Yep.
He come out, and he's misjudged it. I just say, he's no misjudged it. I put a bit of topspin on it. Didn't they realise that? And won nothing, and then I think Drew Jarvis scored to make it 2-0. I got that goal. I got that, Ian.
Oh, dearie me. I was going to say as well, I mean, you had, of course, you had a shot at the old Acton as well in 2002.
That's just frightening, that, because a couple of boys have just come on Facebook there. And, oh, George, that was brilliant, that film. I don't think it was brilliant. The laugh we had making that was just brilliant, and Robert Duval was absolutely first class. He actually even invited us all over to his ranch in Virginia.
Wow.
After it was all over. Because he'd taken us for a meal and all that. And he actually had I'm sure it was his wife or it was his bird or something like that. He actually must have plenty door. He's got, you know.
Oh, yeah, he will have.
Because she was only 24 and she was an Argentinian, because...
Oh, really?
We, we were standing, and I'm looking, and I'm saying to the guys, what's going on over there? So we went over, and what was Robert Duvall and his bird doing? They were dancing. They were absolutely fantastic. they were just dancing. They were fantastic.
How did you get approached for that film? Was that?
I thought somebody was taking the piss, right? because it was John McVeigh. This boy taking the thing or so. So anyway, I says to him, "No, John, are you taking the crap?" She says, "No, big man. We want you." So anyway, I went through. I met the guy that was going to do it. I didn't meet Duvall then at that particular time. It was shooting Glasgow, so I went, right, no problem, I'll do it, blah, blah, blah. Got the cash all set up, right, here we go. So I goes back home. I think it was the next again day or the next 2 days. And John McVeigh phoned us, he says, big man. I says, what? He says, how would you like an actual name? He says, what do you mean, John? I've got a name. She's no, a different name. I says, so you try to tell me I'm going to be on the... He says, aye, they're what they call you, Brian Burns. Fucking Brian Burns, I'm right, okay. So it ended up, I had a wee negotiation with the guy that done it, blah, blah, blah. We got it sorted. And they got it sorted that when they played in the cup final, I got injured in the semi-final. And the guy that played in the final, he was in that Goodwill Hunting.
Ah, yes, good film, that.
He come from America, he was a great lad. But I had to try and teach him how to play in goals, because he hadn't one iota. Not at all. And he said that, he says, I didn't get what I'm doing here. I said, oh, here we go. So actually, I was with Preston at the time, because I had to come from here, from Airdrie to Preston, and I was assistant manager down there.
Yep.
I says to my manager, actually, we had about eight guys from the actual, who's all actors, down at Preston, trying to learn how to play football. And I'm trying to learn this boy how to play in goal. and he's been in Goodwill Hunting. Come on. But they were all great guys in that, you know. We actually had one who... It's quite funny. He was on the Titanic, but he was on the, what do you call it? And he sees everything.
Ah, right, okay.
He's up there and they're all saying, we've not got much fucking chance, and you didn't see that bit of fucking ice, did you? That was it. So they were all great lads in that, and when we went through, and then obviously a couple of the other guys that I played with, kind of like Sione Coyle. And,
yeah. McCoy was in it as well, wasn't he?
Andy Smith. Andy Stewart.
Yep.
Aye. And actually, the guy actually asked me to go and see Jimmy Tunderson if he would play for Rangers in the cup final for Brian Cox's team. I says, right, I'll go. And he done it. But you wouldn't have came because I was there, but I was behind the goals with a camera. But you wouldn't have came because I was all dolled up. they dolled me up so I could maybe... It was like a sub-beautiful fucking goalie. So there you go. And they get me wrong. They were all great with us in that. The last we had along the road was just great.
It looked like there'd be a few laughs there. Did you consider it a career in Hollywood after that? Was that after your...
Well, to be fair, Robert Duvall and that was saying before he went away, before he left, he says, listen, if I've got anything on and I need you, will you be there? I says, well, if you can get me over there, it's not a problem. Not a problem, he says. That's in my mind, big man. I says, right, okay then.
Excellent stuff. You released, of course, you mentioned previously, John, your book, your autobiography in 2016. Yeah. What gave you the sort of idea to write your own book there?
Well, it wasn't actually me. I went through to an Airdrie game, and I was sitting, like say, in the wee bar, And John O'Brien, you kidding, John O'Brien?
Yeah.
Well, it's John O'Brien come up to me and went, "Hi, big man, blah, 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 blah," spoke away. He says, "Can I ask you something, man?" "What is it?" He says, "How would you like me to write a book about you?" And I looked at him. I thought, "Are you kidding?" He went, "No." He says, "Well, you see, I've been trying to do this for a good couple of years." He says, "I've got enough time now to do it." I says, "Listen, if you want to do it, we'll do it. And don't get me wrong, we were right on the button. It was through here a few times. Angela made him a couple of cups of tea and something to eat and that." And he was quite happy on the way up the road, and then we would talk about it again. Then it would go out, because it actually got printed at the Airdrie printers.
Yep.
Printers are singing there. And they actually done well for me, because I think it was due to come out during a public holiday, and they were on holiday. But one of the guys that worked in there is an Airdrie supporter, and he come up to me one Saturday. He says, "Big man," he says, "we'll get that done for you before that."
I says, "Oh, good stuff."
And they done it for us.
Excellent stuff. And what's the sort of feedback been like from that?
The feedback's been absolutely tremendous, because, as you say, is that there's some didn't ken much in there, and they're all going, "Christ almighty, I didn't ken that. I says, "Well, there you are. The book says it all." And actually, I got a PM for somebody for me, and his question was, "John, are you going to make a second book?" So I went,
"Wow, a second book?"
I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, I've got... Plus, he's what he I didn't care if he's wanting to do it, or I don't know. I've no going really into it yet, because I don't know if he was trying to sing with me or no. I don't know. So I said to him, "Well, if somebody wanted to do a second book, come and talk to me, and we'll see where it goes."
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, that's something.
I think if he's talking about, like, say, after I left Airdrie and all that, and from Airdrie there to now, probably.
Yeah.
But the feedbacks I've been getting, the folk obviously taking the book on the holiday, and you'll see the pictures on that and that. I'm still trying to, there's no much left now. I'm just trying to sell them off. My laddie days, that he sends them on to folk and that now. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. How, if someone was maybe interested in getting a copy, how do they go about it? Is it the best going through Facebook then?
Just come through me, or go through my laddie, Richard Martin.
Okay, I'll put a link up on the wee bio as well. I'll put a wee link up as well, yeah.
You'll get straight to him, because he deals with all that. He's got all the books, and they're all signed. And if you want your name on it, I can just go up the road and sign it if you want your name on it, because I've just put all the best, John Martin. If they're wanting their name on it, it's not a problem.
Excellent stuff.
So if you could put a link up for him, that'd be actually...
Yeah, I'll do that, John, no problem at all. Before we finish up, I was going to ask him, in terms of, you played obviously in goals, but in terms of players you played against, was there anyone that sort of stood out that you played with and against there?
I really got on well with Ali McCoist. Me and Ali used to have wee banters and that, and he was one character as well. I mean, that's another character, you could say. So there's two you can mention there. I think it was one time, I think he was playing with Kilmarnock at the time, and it was a corner. And I just looked at Ali, and he looked at me, and we laughed, eh? And again, how the goalies had their water bottles and that, and their towels and that. So Ali's like that, and it's been pissing the rain, like, again, and it's freezing. So Ali's looked away, I've got the water bottle, I went, "Ali," and this is before the hangman, and he looked, and I just fucking squirted him with the water bottle. It was absolutely, all the players were laughing, didn't they? He says, "Yeah, bad, I'll get you." Yeah, right, okay then. And there's really a lot, and I really liked Henrik Larsson as well.
He was a player.
He's a fantastic player. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Even Mark Haitley was a handful, as you can imagine, you know.
Yeah, he certainly was.
And the worst about that day, I played against Dundee United, and I got injured three times, right, in that game, that same game, and guess, I'll give you a guess, who injured me three times?
No, what, for Dundee United?
Aye.
Who were we playing back then? Not Richard Goff, David Dodds, maybe?
No, it's the other one. Duncan Ferguson.
Duncan Ferry, yeah, big dunk.
I got injured and I got back up. And not on the heat again. I got back up and he says to me, he went in the past, he says, big man, you got a fucking sick lie down. I went, no. I think that was a nil-nil draw that game. But there's some good wee stories that you tell there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Excellent stuff. And what are you up to these days, John?
I'm actually working in Tesco's in Massover at the moment. Obviously, I've been through a back operation, so I've just got back there on Tuesday. And I do a goalkeeping academy. I oversee the training at Massover Windsor on a Monday night.
Good stuff.
That's quite good because it's the wee guys right up to the big guys. So, and I oversee that, so that's quite good.
Excellent stuff. Well, fantastic, John. I think that'll do us here. Thanks very much for speaking to us. It's been an absolute joy to have you on.
Not a problem, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that was episode 18 of the Talking Football Podcast with John Martin. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can catch any episode you've missed on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and at derekclarksport.co.uk. We're also on Twitter. Remember, at @talking_football. And we're also on Facebook as well. Hope you can join me again next week for another top guest. Until then, bye for now.